Hello, everyone. I'm Arjun Kare. Thanks for joining us here at FOSDEM 2021. Would have been great if we could have done this in person in Brussels, like they've done in past years. Hopefully, we can do that next time. What I'd like to do today is give a brief introduction to Ampere for those of you who are just hearing about us, and then let's discuss Ampere's open source firmware status on our Ampere platforms for across various projects. At the end, we'll go live and then be happy to take your questions. So let's start off by first getting to know Ampere. So Ampere is a company founded by Renée James. She was previously a president at Intel. It's about 4 years old. And despite being a relatively young company, it's an incredibly experienced team. In both the semiconductor and data center space, from Renee to her staff on down throughout the organization, tremendous experience as well on ARM64, and so that's our focus, ARM64 servers, targeting both the cloud and the edge, and what we'd like to say is the first cloud native processor with our latest Ultra release. So we're really excited for the future and where Ampere will be in the data center landscape. We're a global company. We have teams all around the world. Santa Clara is our headquarters, but we have offices in Portland and Raleigh. That's where I'm from, in Raleigh, North Carolina, Bangalore, Ho Chi Minh City, Taipei, and Shanghai. And so what that means really is you can have some meetings at odd times of the day, but that means 24 hours a day, there's somebody at Ampere working on making server SoCs better. So very exciting, great teams to work with. And let's just kind of just do a brief, finish off by doing a timeline of some key dates for Ampere. So as I mentioned, we were only founded just like about 4 years ago, October 2017, Renée James founds the company. And then within a year, we released our first SoC processor, the EMAG. As a 16 nanometer process, ARM V8 specs, 32 cores, with each core capable of doing 3.3 gigahertz. And then just last year in March, we introduced Ultra, what we call the world's first cloud native processor. And this is a brand new processor design, 7 nanometer process, ARM V.82. 80 cores on the SoC, and each core can hit 3 gigahertz at the same time. So an all-core 3 gigahertz SoC, and it can be in either 1P or 2P platforms. Now we're really excited about this new SoC, and you can go to Onintech or Serve the Home or Phoronix, and they have some deep dives. They put the Ultra through its paces. Definitely can go read those articles to find out more about how the Ultra stacks up. And last but not least, today is another key date for Ampere in our presentation here at FOSDEM 2021. And to be honest, my understanding is there's supposed to be a humor content to today's presentation, so hopefully I get the checkbox for that last piece. All right, so let's talk about the main thrust of today's conversation, our support for open source firmware. We're committed to supporting open source firmware in the ecosystem, and we're doing that two ways. One is we're enabling open source firmware on our platforms, and then active engagement with the community. What we find is that our customers want and are using open source firmware, and collaborating with the community just means further innovation, standardization, and ease of use of our platforms. And you get all the other benefits that we all know about, right? Security, stability, and then this iterative ability to build on new features that we're all contributing. We're engaging with communities to upstream our changes. As well hoping to lead in future developments, and we'll hopefully see examples of that as we go through this presentation. Now, the projects we're going to talk about where we're doing this is in the Theano Core EDK2 along with Linux Boot, OpenBMC, OpenOCD, and then our efforts in the OCP OSF space as well. Now, before we continue, I'm going to make some references throughout this presentation to our GitHub and our reference platform. So I just want to cover them quickly here. So we are, in general, working on upstreaming all of our changes to the main repos, but in the time being, The code is usually found on Ampere's GitHub site, which you can see here, but don't need to memorize it. If you just Google Ampere Computing and GitHub, you'll get to the same place. And then as well, all of the firmware we're talking about has been developed and tested on the Mount Jade platform. You can see a nice picture there. That's a 2P 2U reference platform for Ultra. I won't go into the specs. You can see the link there again on the Ampere Computing website. But this platform is really nice. It can support a ton of memory, a lot of PCIe lanes, NVMe, SSD, etc. So it's a great platform to work on, and you can find out more at the link. All right, so let's jump into the projects. So the first one, let's go into Tiana Core and EDK2. So as mentioned, we support the Ultra on the Mount Jade platform. Right now, we are forking the main repo into our GitHub, and doing our development there and our releases there as well. And to the right, I have a picture of our roadmap. I'm not going to go deeply into the features per the roadmap, but what I do want to show is that we have releases every month, a lot of features coming in every month. We're on release 1.03, and I don't know if you are able to see it, but this roadmap's going out into March, and it's going to continue beyond that. And as an example of like this continuing roadmap that we're going to support, we have a new SoC, the Ultra Max, which we've announced, and we're going to start supporting or having our initial firmware releases for that SoC in the March timeframe. But while we are on Ampere's GitHub, we do want to upstream to the main repo. So we are have already done a V1 with the maintainers and have taken their comments and are now working on our second submission. And we're hoping that we can get this all taken care of by March. But if not, we're going to continue with it. So what I want to also stress is this is not a new a one-time development activity. We're going to keep maintaining the upstream Ampere patches into the EDK2 tree, and we'll continue that forward. And honestly, we think as a primary ARM64 server silicon vendor, we may be on the forefront of a lot of ARM64 related features. And so we're going to take some leadership positions in developing those features as well. Continuing our engagement with upstream. So along with EDK2 is Linux Boot. Now, I'm not sure if everyone's familiar with Linux Boot. There's a website, but Linux Boot is an idea where firmware for servers, for modern servers, replace specific functionality like the Eufy Dixie phase with a Linux kernel and runtime. So it's essentially in the biggest degree, a replacement of Eufy with Linux Boot, but there are phases to that. And really, this is just a new approach to firmware that we want to support, right? We support EDK2, as I've shown in the previous slide, and we also want to support Linux Boot. So how have we done that support? So our EDK2 GitHub, Ampere Computing, does have a build option where you can choose to do Linux boot instead of the full EDK2 build. And in that case, what we do is we make a build where you will still execute the entire boot chain all the way up until just before the BDS shell. And instead of going into the BDS shell as you would do normally, you instead jump into the Linux boot kernel. And the Linux boot in a part of Linux boot is this uroot UI, the shell program. So you jump into that. And then from there, you can still jump into your kernel and distro as you would normally in EDK2. So we have that option. It's in there. So one of the things is though that hasn't been upstreamed yet into EDK2, and that's something that we're not this particular piece we're not actively pushing right now. To get this up into EDK2, I think is going to take a little bit more infrastructural work, to make sure the changes that need to be made in EDK2 to support this are there. And this is a place where Ampere, wants to definitely engage with the upstream community, take a leadership position if we can to, figure out what those changes are, push those changes, and make that happen. And then the last part here is, we've talked about EDK2, the changes, but there's also the actual Linux boot binary or the executable that you jump into, when you go from your Eufy into this Linux boot image. That doesn't actually live on Ampere's GitHub, but it's actually up on the Linux Boot mainboard's repo. And so we're pulling that the source code for that down and building it and making that the Linux Boot kernel. One of our engineers just became one of the maintainers for the mainboard, so he'll be making sure that the Ampere Jade subdirectory in mainboards is up to date with all the proper configurations for the Ultra and Mount Jade platform. Let's talk next about OpenBMC. So here we're saying support for Mount Jade. We're not going to say it's a port for Ultra because the BMC does run its own processor. It's not the Ultra SoC that it runs on. I'm calling out the GitHub location here because it's slightly different than what we've talked about in the past. It's at Ampere slash OpenBMC instead of the normal Ampere GitHub website. However, again, if you Google Ampere and OpenBMC, you can find this site pretty quickly. So in that folder, there's three subdirectories where we have our development. The first is the meta Ampere, where we actually have our implementation, the BMC implementation for Mount Jade. Then there's a Linux directory where we have Linux kernel changes to support our platform. And so some of the changes are the BMC SSIF driver, as well as the MFD drivers. And these are drivers where the BMC needs to talk to the microcontrollers or the control processors on the platform to get things such as SoC sensor reporting or communicate SoC error reporting, boot progress, etc. So you need a driver there. So for our platform, so we have our drivers there, and then the SSIF bridge implementation specific to Ampere as well. Similar to EDK2, we have a monthly release process. You can see here again this picture. It looks a lot like the previous one for EDK2, right? So again, every month, a bunch of features coming in. This roadmap doesn't end. It keeps going on, and so we'll be keep releasing our features as time progresses. So in terms of upstreaming status, we have upstream parts of Meta Ampere, though more parts do need to continue, and so we'll continue that process. SSIF bridge has been upstreamed. And then we're going to be working on those Linux kernel drivers to get those upstreamed as well this month. So hopefully, start that process and that goes well as also. Okay, let's talk about OpenOCD. So OpenOCD is it's an open source on-chip debugger. In my head, JTAG, right? It's a JTAG to do for your platform, right? And I think when we're talking firmware, there's a lot of methods to debug, but at some point you may just get into the point, to do your development and debugging, you need this kind of debugger where you're setting breakpoints and watch points and examining memory, etc., right? I think for a lot of firmware, this is crucial. At some point, you're going to have to do this. OpenOCD, because it's open, is a very cost-effective solution, right? The software is free. The probes that you can use, seem to be very reasonably priced as well. So it's a nice solution. In terms of the software, Ampere has contributions in two places, and the team's worked really hard on this. On the first is generic ARM 64-bit contributions, right? So we've done a lot of work to help enable or move forward the ARM 64 support. The system, by for example, contributions in the system register access, instruction step support, the DAP set ADIV6 DAP without which there is no debugging if you can't get to the DAP, and watch points. And that's an interesting story. We had seen an issue with watch points, and we had come up with a solution. And it turns out the folks at Mellanox had done the same. And so there's essentially a collaboration between the two to come up with a common solution, and then put that forth. So that's a great example of the open source collaboration and innovation between two companies. In terms of contributions that are specific for the Ampere platform, there's a list here, but I really want to talk about the first one, which is support for OpenOCD in the OpenBMC. So typically, right, when I think JTAG, I'm thinking like, okay, I'm going to go to the platform, I'm going to pop the lid, I'm going to take a probe, and I'm going to put it on the board and start debugging. But in a data center, that's on a one-on-one basis, that's fine, but in a data center, that's probably not going to work. And so we've enabled our BMC, with our OpenBMC code to essentially act as the JTAG probe. So the OpenOCD, you log in to the BMC, and then you kick off the OpenOCD software, and essentially now you are debugging your platform just as if you had an Alamex probe plugged in. But in this case, right, it's hands-free, right? You don't even need to know physically where that particular board is. So that's a really exciting development, and that's in today's OpenBMC releases. So that's a great feature that the team has put forth. And lastly, in terms of where we are with the upstream and sharing these with the community, we continue to push these changes up to the upstream, which is you can see that at the xylent.com. But otherwise, in the meantime, you can still go to our website, or sorry, our GitHub, and pull down those changes. All right, so let's also talk about OCP and OSF. All right, so the OSF is the Open System Firmware Project under the OCP umbrella. And the purpose of that project is to allow platform owners to own their firmware, to have more control of the firmware that runs on their platforms. And one of the ways you achieve this is that OSF requires that the firmware that runs on the application processor, either the code is open source or the binaries are freely redistributable. And so Ampere, will be working towards certifying our Mount Jade firmware to be OCP OSF compliant in the next few months. Now, you've seen already in this talk, a lot of the stack is already open source, especially the EDK2 and the Linux boot. And then we do have a binary that, for silicon reasons, we do have to keep in a binary form, but we are working to make sure that that is freely redistributable. So at the end of this process, assuming we get through the checklist and pass, our firmware components for Mount Jade will be available on the OCP website. And we like to think this is just another example where Ampere is supporting open source initiatives across the ecosystem. Again, in our support for open source. All right, so we're about to wrap up. What I want to show you here again is just a reference to our firmware links, open source firmware links. As I mentioned, a lot of them are at the Ampere Computing GitHub site. Please remember, the OpenBMC is actually at a slightly different site that you can still Google. And then the Linux boot chain, code is actually on the Linux boot slash main board repo. And then you just go down to the subdirectory for Ampere slash Jade to get the latest configurations. And lastly, I want to reiterate our commitment to open source, and again, how we're doing, right? We're enabling open source on our platforms and we're engaging with the community, right? And by enabling these projects on our platforms, we support our customers and we ensure that these open source projects deliver top-notch stability, performance, scalability, power efficiency, and security for our platforms, the data center. And then we're upstreaming and sharing those changes with the community. And I should say, even though this presentation is focused on firmware, open source, Ampere has engagement across the stack. As an example, we have folks working on LF Edge or OpenJDK and GCC and so on. So, up and down the software stack, Ampere is definitely engaged. And then we're also engaging in the community in forums such as the OCP OSF or Linux boot. And we believe by the virtue of our leadership in the ARM64 server space, we're going to probably take a leadership position in enabling ARM64 features on a lot of these open source projects. And so, we look forward to being part of that. In closing, thank you very much for your time and listening. Right after this, we'll take your questions. If you want to learn more about Ampere, please feel free to visit our website at ampercomputing.com. All right, thank you very much.